Desire your prayers again this morning. Appreciate God's love to me, and not just to me, to everyone. Truly, the adult Sunday school class this morning touched on love, and it was love for fellow man. And my thought this morning goes along similar line, just love in general, but with the Lord's help, I want to focus on a couple of thoughts, because love is such a broad subject, and I need the Lord's help to know how to focus on what I feel impressed to share this morning. So I want to start with writing some numbers on the board. So we'll start off with this. So I wrote some random numbers, somewhat. 50%, 60%, 75%, and 90%. And considering those numbers, we'll ask the question, is 60% good enough? Just a generic question, but I'll just, is 60% good enough? Or is 50% good enough? Is 75% good enough? And is 90% good enough? Now, that's a pretty broad way of asking those questions. It's really not fair. But there's a reason why I was doing that. Because it depends upon what you're dealing with. I'll give you an example. Say, in the sports realm, if someone had, I'm just going to write this up here where you can understand it a little better. If someone So that's 75% written in decimal form, 0.750. If someone was batting 750, that's like crazy good. That's like a machine. We'll put it this way. Usually when someone wins the batting title, they're usually batting around 340, something in that range. I mean, it can plus or minus. But that's like twice as good as 340. 750, that means 3 out of 4 at-bats, you get a base hit. That is amazing. Okay? So 750, 75%, that's awesome. And what about, we'll just pick on 50%. What if you have some money in a savings account, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm making 50% on interest. Wow, I want to go there. What bank is that? 5% I'd be happy with. But really, 50%, what, consider that, that's amazing. You know, come interest. And it's money in the bank. But now, what about in school? What if you make a 60%? In school. Is that good? Is that acceptable? Yeah. It's an indication that something's wrong. Whether it's a lack of effort or a lack of whatever. 60% usually doesn't cut it for most people that I know anyway. And then, that's enough of that. But considering these percentages, it depends upon what you're dealing with. It's relative, basically. Now I want to tell a little story. Perhaps we've all heard different versions of this, so I'll just share it how I remember it. It's actually based upon a true instance. There was a minister giving this young couple some marriage counseling. And he asked them, he's like, what do you think is a fair percentage that you give one to another? And they both kind of talked a little bit, and they're like, 50-50, sounds pretty good. Give and take, 50-50. And they're like, yeah, that's pretty good. And he's like, are you sure about that? Of course, he had something to say. And his response was, So 50-50, is that real? Now, what if? What if you both decide to take your half at the same time? Think about that. Who knows when it's, you know, is it really planned that, okay, honey, I'm going to give 50 and you're going to take 50 this time. And the next time we're going to, you know, it doesn't always work that way. That's just life, okay? His advice to them was, give 100%, both of you, and the marriage will work. Now I want to demonstrate real quick how this happens. 50%, that's a pretty good number. You think of interest or even a batting average. But when it comes to marriage, let me demonstrate 50%. And if you both happen to take, that is be selfish, just to put it bluntly, to take at the same time, this can start to happen. Okay? You both are taking 50%. Okay? 50-50. You do it again. Same thing. Again. And again. What happens? Well, it's a loss for both of you. It's not how God planned it. His plan was that we give, that we love 100%. Now, granted, we all are human, and I want to get into that here in a moment. But you think about what this minister told the couple. I think that's good advice. I think that's good for all of us to remember. To give. 100% of the time. Now, I know that can be challenging at times. But to at least have that mindset that I love my companion so much that I would be willing to give something to help them, to help the situation. That mindset, okay? An unselfish mindset is what we're talking about. Now, I want to take this to another level. I want to read some scriptures. And before I read these scriptures, we'll ask this question. What about receiving blessings from God? And ultimately, what about making heaven our home? Is 50% of our effort, is that going to be good enough? How about 60% of our mindset, our heart, our desires, our intentions, our love? Is 60% good enough to meet God's expectations? 75, that's pretty good. 90, that's really good. But is that really enough? Will it get you that goal? Will you receive God's bountiful blessings? Think about that. Now I want to read some scriptures in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, verses 3 through 7. And this is the old law, and there's other scriptures in the New Testament based off of these. Deuteronomy 6, verses 3. We'll start with verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. It sounds like God's saying, I got something for you to hear. And if you want to receive my blessings, here's what you got to do. And he goes on. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now let's think about this here for a moment. Is 60% all? 90? That's pretty close. It's not all. And he goes on. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He's saying here, he said, if you do all these things, and with all thy soul and all thy might, and these words which I have commanded this day shall be in thine heart. When you back up here, the first verse says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it." He's like, I'm fixing to tell you something. If you've observed these things, he says, it will be well with you. I will bless you. I will defend you. I'll come to your rescue. It says, and that you may increase mightily. Not just increase just a little bit. No, God has something wonderful in store for all of us. But he said, there's a condition here. If you just put in 50% effort, just like the minister was challenging this young couple, if you just put in 50%, that's not a very good investment. The return on that will most likely end up like this. Okay? But he's saying if you put 100% into it, all, you will reap bountifully. Okay? The same basic principle all throughout the scriptures. You reap what you sow. You put in 50%, you're probably going to get 50% back. Just think about that. It's or less. But you put in 100%. You know what? That gets people's attention. That gets God's attention. That means I'm in this for real. I mean it. Okay? Now I want to read some more scriptures along the same line. In the New Testament version of what we just read, in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. In Matthew 22, verses 35-40. Says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, he's talking to Jesus here, which is the great commandment in the law? He knew, but he was just tempting Jesus. Jesus didn't bat an eye. It's simple. It's in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, where we just read. Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's pretty profound when you think about it. Basically, it's cutting through all the other distractions and extras and add-ons and add-ins and all that. It's cutting through all of that and saying, it really boils down, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the neighbor as thyself. He's like, if you do those two things, life will go well for you. Because God's hand will be upon you, you see? That's all he's saying. Well, how easy is it? Be honest with ourselves, to get distracted and to lose sight of these two greatest commandments. He says, on these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. He's not saying that they're not there. Okay. The prophecies, the other commandments, the other laws, they're important. He's saying it's not doing away with them, but they hang upon these two main points. If you forget these two main points, everything else is rubbish. And we'll read some scriptures that'll back that up here after a while. But you think about it, these were not any of the disciples' rules or laws. They didn't come up with this. Jesus didn't even come up with it himself. This was something God gave way back in the Old Testament to Moses. As a rule of law, of life to live for the Israelites. Because he knew they needed this. And there was no other nation prior to that that had ever achieved the greatness that they had. I mean, can you go back in history and think of any other nation that had such mighty miracles performed in their behalf of protecting them and leading them and guiding them? The answer is no. There was no other nation that God blessed like he did the Israelites. But there was a condition upon it. You see, these were God's rules. It wasn't man's. God is the one that gave Moses these rules. And you think about some of the basic physical side of some of the laws and rituals and all the things that had to do with cleanliness and all these things. It was for their good too. No other nation had learned to wash their hands. No. But God taught the Israelites to keep them clean. That was to keep disease and sicknesses from spreading rampant. We today take it for granted, you know, like every vehicle or every house or every classroom you go in, they have this hand sanitizer. That's good, okay? It's cleanliness. It's on our mind because we realize, you know what? That really helps keep germs and sicknesses and illnesses at a minimum. But you know, 100 years ago, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't that way. People, they didn't think about it being that big of an issue. You know, it actually all started way back in the Old Testament. Teaching them how to be clean, how to stay healthy, you know. Well, these were God's rules, His laws. And who are we to say, nah, I don't think you have that right, Lord. Okay, whose heaven is it? He's the one that set the rules. If you want to enter into my heaven, ultimately, to my reward, you're going to have to abide by my rules, by my laws. And he's saying, these are the first two. And I want to read some scriptures to back that up. Again, in Luke 10, similar occasion here, a little different words that Jesus said. Luke 10, verses 25 through 28. It says, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, I think he came in all sincerity. But you know, Jesus knew his heart. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. But what else did Jesus say? He said, this do, and thou shalt live. Pretty simple. But is it? You see, it's so easy for us as humans to go through life and think, well, a good part of the time I love God or I love my neighbor. 50%, 60%, that's good enough. And this, perhaps this lawyer is thinking, I do some of that. Yeah. He's saying, no. What does the law say? It says, with all thy heart. That's not 50%. That's not 75%. That is 100%. All. Everything. With all your being. With all your desire. Okay? Now, we'll take this another step. Let's get down where we live. All is a pretty bold statement, is it not? But God never has backed up on that. You know, there's not another, that I know of, version of the Bible that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart. And with some of thy soul, and with some of thy strength, and with some of your mind. No. But that's not how it's written. That's not how it's intended. God expects more than that. Okay? And here's the thing. Some people then, they take this attitude of, oh, that's too much. That's pretty extreme, you know. Oh, really? What's really extreme? You know, I think Jesus was the perfect example of extreme, okay? Because He loved all the way. He gave all the way. 100%. Never once did He back up and say, not this time. Now I'll pass. I'll settle for the 75%. You know, this is my 25, I'm kind of holding back for myself. No, He gave it all. All right. So what that did, the fact that Jesus was willing to go all the way, 100%, sold out for His Heavenly Father, and demonstrated it, you see. He put those words that He was preaching and teaching about the laws, about this to this lawyer, and to this other man that stood up. He's like, I'll show you. You don't believe me that it's possible? I will demonstrate that it is possible. And you know what? Jesus did exactly that. And you could say, when he told this lawyer, he said, thou answerest right, this do and thou shalt live. He's like, just do what I say and you will gain your eternal reward. That's what he's asking. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, he said, this do and thou shalt live. It's as simple as that. But you know, it comes down to this. It comes down to a mindset. Your approach. Your motive. Your desire. Because you can fool people into telling someone that I'm giving 100%. Telling someone I'm giving 90%. You know, a high percentage. But your life is actually telling a different story. It's telling maybe 50% or 40% or even less. You can't fool everyone forever, you see. And by no means can you fool God. God knows what your intentions are. God knows what your motives are. God knows your approach, your mindset when it comes to giving and loving. God is the one that sees into our hearts. And He knows what's in our mind. You can't fool Him. And it does not change His requirement. It's always been all. Never has changed, never will change. Well, so then it comes down to, I'll give you some examples. Say in competition. Seems like there's a lot of competition, even more nowadays than, say, 100 years ago. There's a competition for about anything you can imagine. I mean, seriously. But you think about competition, whether it's in the sports realm or political race or warfare, whatever it is. If someone was to say, just think about this, because this is a mindset and this is an approach, okay? So bear with me just for a little bit. Say if they face this competition with this type of mindset of, well, you know, it's hard to win every time. It's a challenge, you know, and I'll do my best. I'll give it a try. We'll just kind of see what happens. You know, just kind of, you know what I'm saying. Someone that really doesn't go, here's another approach. What I just demonstrated was someone with like a 50 to 75% desire to win. Okay? And let me tell you something. Those type of people with that kind of mindset, they can be defeated over and over and over and over again. Because they get beat down, and then they just give up. Like, see? You know, well, yeah, you kind of prophesied that of your own accord by your approach to it. And I'm not just talking about positive thinking here this morning. OK, I hope you understand my point and my burden. But it is a mindset. It is a passion. It is a desire. All right. Because you get someone else. And these are the type of people to fear if you're competing against them. They may look tiny and they may look scrawny, but when they come to this competition and they're all fired up and they're like, yep, we're going to win this. Come on, bring it on. We're going, you know, I'm going to win. I don't, whatever, you know, and they have that type of mindset. And they're like, yeah, even if I get knocked down, I'm getting back up. I'm coming after you. You know, we may lose the first round or the second quarter or whatever, but we're coming back. The last half, it's ours. You better watch out, you know, that type of mindset. Watch out, because they have something to prove. They're going to say, no, we're not giving just 50% or 75% and kind of sitting around the sidelines going, well, we're going to do our best, you know, and we'll put some effort into it. And yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, it will be, you know, but there is something about it. You can tell, you can detect when someone has a 50% mindset. When you're competing with them, and someone that has a 100% mindset, you can tell. Okay, I think we've all experienced both sides of it. You know what? If we can tell and if we can detect, how much more easily can God detect? And can Satan detect? Satan knows when you are lukewarm. Satan knows when we're just kind of, yeah, I'll serve God for a few days this week. Oh, come Sunday, yep, I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a fiery testimony. I'm going to sing loud. That's good. But what about the rest of the week? Is it dropped down to the 50%? You can fool people. Oh, yeah, I went and did this, and I went and did that, and I read this, and I prayed so long, and I blah, blah. That's good. That's good. But where's your heart? You see? And here's the other side of it. Sometimes, yes, in life, a person may meet up with a failure. Okay? It's a reality. But you know, I mentioned earlier the person that is given 100%. If they get knocked down, and maybe they lose a round, you know what? They don't stop. They're like, you know what? I'm getting right back up, and I'm coming right back at you. That's determination. That is someone that has made up their mind, you know what? No matter if I slip. You know, have you seen some video clips? Maybe a professional athlete or whoever, it doesn't matter. Someone that has a track record for being awesome, amazing, and everything's... And all of a sudden, in the middle of a play, or they're running their bases, or they're running down the field, and they just like, whoosh, boom, just wipe out. And no one's even around them. They can't blame it on anyone. But they got tangled up in their own feet, or whatever. They slipped, and they're like, look at that. You know what? Someone that's getting it of 100%, you know what they're going to do? They're going to get up, brush that off, laugh it off, say, all right, we'll see you next round, and keep going. All right? That's their mindset. They're going to give it their all, though they may slip. They're not staying down. Like, oh no, we're coming back with a vengeance. You want to laugh? We'll give you something to laugh about later. You know, that mindset, that determination, that's giving your all, okay? Now, I want to take this and approach it this way. We'll read another scripture here in a moment. But someone that's giving 100%, they may lose a little battle or a little skirmish. They may lose one or two here or there. But in the end, they win the war. Okay? Think about that. Just in history, take the Civil War. I'm not going to give a lot of examples, but Civil War, World War II, how many times have we heard stories of the generals and the different ones in battle? There was a few skirmishes they would lose, and they'd be set back. And they'd go over here, and they'd lose one over here too. But you know what? They just kept coming, and they kept coming. And before long, they started winning a few here and there. They may lose another one. Then they come back and they win some more. And in the end, the ones that became famous were the ones that, though they had great losses and a lot of setbacks, and maybe some silly moves, but they're like, where did that come from? They learned from that. We're not going to do that again. That didn't work. We lost that little battle. We lost that skirmish, but we're not doing that again. We're going to come back another angle now. We're going to try this. We're going to do that. And we're not going to stop, you see. And that type of mindset, that will win a war. Okay? And that's what we're talking about. That's what Jesus was telling these men that were coming to Him. He's saying, you need to make up your mind what you want to do. And make up your mind that with determination, I'm going to put into action the things that I know and I understand right now. I'm going to put those into action. You remember what He told the rich young ruler? Well, He's alluded to that. He said, go and sell all that thou hast. Just told him to just go do that. You're rich, go sell what you have and give to the poor. And then come and follow Me. And what did He say? He went away sorrowful. Because as far as he could go was probably 60 or 75%. He'd done all the other good things. Yeah, he did well. And Jesus is saying, you haven't given your all. You're still holding, you still have a covetous spirit within there that you fooled everyone else. You've demonstrated, oh, I'm making an A plus, it looked like. And Jesus is saying, no, you're really only making a D plus. It's like, if you want to make 100%, go out and sell everything you have and give to the poor. That's your hang up, he's saying. And he went away sorrowful. He didn't want to do it. Can't do that. You know what? You're going to lose the war. If you have that mindset, nope, can't do it. But to someone else that realizes their great need and their shortcomings, and God speaks to them, and God tells us, hey, you need to do this and this. And we go, oh, yeah, I didn't see that. Or you know what? I think you're right. And then the mindset of, Lord, help me to improve. I want to do better there. I don't want that to be my hang up. That's someone that loves the Lord thy God with all their heart and their soul and their mind and their strength. That means I'm going to put some effort into this. I'm going to accept what you say, Lord. Say, okay, Lord, I can't do it on my own, but I know you can help me. That's someone that can win the war. Okay? Well, I want to read a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. And this is where what it boils down to. Several scriptures here. I'm going to try to read through them quickly. Because they're all good. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. So bear with me here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wow, that's a mouthful. But you know what? It's true. It absolutely is true. Charity, love, agape, it says. And in verse 8, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Charity never faileth. I want to write that on the board. Charity never faileth. Think about that for a moment. You could say it in another, in another way. Love always wins. Think about that. That's what wins wars. I understand what I'm saying. In literal warfare, like love? No, we're talking, when we get down to what's really important, it's spiritual warfare. Okay? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So let's drop that to the side, all right? But let's think about the spiritual warfare. Your true desire and love for God and for your neighbor, which could be your companion, your child, your literal neighbor, your brother, sister in the Lord, the sinner out there. To love others, okay? As thyself. If you can do those two things, you're going to win. Charity never faileth. Now let's think about this. True love and giving 100% does not mean that 100% of the time you're going to be perfect in everything. Think about that. We're human, okay? There are times we simply misunderstand something or somebody. Because we're human. God made us that way. Sometimes we're not fully developed and mature like we should be, okay? We're developing. We're growing, okay? We're learning. God understands that. But it's so easy to put people in a box and say, well, I thought you loved me. And cut them off because they came up short. Maybe they didn't understand. Maybe they didn't realize what they had done to hurt and offend you. And you go, what, you said you loved me and you did that? That's it. Charity never faileth. Charity suffereth long. Charity endureth all things. If you truly have love for God and one another, guess what? You're going to give 100%. Even though someone else may seem like they're giving 50 or 60%, you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and give the rest to the Lord. It's that simple, but yet it's that difficult too. Because we have an enemy of our soul that is constantly going about tantalizing us, trying to plant seeds of doubt and fear about God and about others. Well, they just did that because they wanted to get at me. No. There's an enemy of your soul that wants to trip you up to where you just start giving 60 or 75% to them now. Start cheating them. Start cheating God. And God's saying, I can't bless you. You haven't lived up to my standard, so I'm going to remove my blessings from you. And you know what's going to happen? Broken. Of no use, ultimately, if you continue down that path. And that's where Satan desires for us. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. Okay? Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. That's his tactic. And God's saying, love. Because love is what will win a spiritual war. In the end, what's the scripture say? God is love. You think God is ever going to lose? No. Therefore, love is never going to lose. Love is always going to win. I want to write that as a little subtitle. Love always wins. And you think about these scriptures we read in 1 Corinthians. You know what? It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and have not charity, have not love, and though I have the gift of prophecy and bestow all my goods to the poor, give my body to be burned, all these things, that's good. But those are the things that are hanging on what's really important. As Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, I want to close with these little scriptures. In John 21, it says this. I'll give you a little background of the story. Jesus has already been crucified, resurrected. He'd already appeared to the disciples a couple of times. But yet Peter and his buddies, some of the disciples there, they were pretty distraught. They felt like God had failed them. They're like, what are we going to do now? Our master's gone. We thought something awesome was going to happen. And remember what Peter said? I'll just go fishing. That's what I was doing before Jesus came around. I guess I'll just go back to that. Well, in John 21, verses 15 through 17, Jesus saw them out there struggling. They were able to catch some fish, but Jesus had built a little fire there, had some food waiting for them. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. In verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus shewed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? These little fishes that you were out fishing for and couldn't catch any? And I helped you catch them? You said, I'm just going to go fishing. That's what he loved. That was his passion. He was good at it. That's who he was. He's a fisherman. He was skilled at it. And that day he wasn't. But Jesus was trying to prove something here. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He answereth and saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. That's all Jesus said. And he saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said, Feed my sheep. And he saith to him a third time. I believe Jesus is trying to emphasize something. Getting down to the core. Okay? Peter was not fooling Jesus here. He may have been fooling anybody else. He wasn't fooling Jesus. And he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Of course he does. Of course he does. That's why he keeps asking you, Peter. He said, Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, You know, Jesus could have said, No, you don't. You only love me 60% or 70%. 80%, whatever. Jesus could have been specific and just kind of put him in his place. But no, Jesus' answer was very simple, yet profound. And he didn't change his answer these three times. All Jesus was saying is, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And the last time, Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know what Jesus was doing here? He was giving Peter a message. If you want to prove that you love me, you will do what I say. You will follow me. As he says later, he said, follow me. Down in verse 19. Peter, if you really love me, you're going to do my commandments. You're going to do the things that I tell you to do, that I prompt you to do. You're going to change the things that I want you to change. Jesus wanted to change a lot of things in Peter, and some changes were coming. But Jesus was putting his finger on the issue. Peter, unless you get rid of your selfishness and your self-centeredness, that everything is about you, a lot of things are about you. Yay, Lord, I love you. 50, 60, 70%. Yeah, that's good, but that's not good enough. If you really love me, Peter, you will go feed my sheep. And you will go seek the Lord's will in your life earnestly. And you know what? Peter won the war. He lost a few battles along the way, but he didn't give up. Charity never faileth. Love always wins. And in the end, Peter won. With God's help and His grace and the Holy Spirit. You see? We don't win in and of ourselves. We know that. But the point is, God wants us all to win ultimately, to win this spiritual race, the spiritual war that we're in with Satan. He's saying, I have all these things for you if you'll love me supremely and your neighbor as yourself. And he's saying, then it will be well. Everything else will fall into place after that. And you know how true that is in our lives? Again, it's so easy to get distracted by all the other things around us. In 1 Corinthians, what are some of these things? It ends up sounding as brass and a tinkling cymbal. And all these other commotions, all these other little things we can be busy about doing. And that's good. It is good. God wants those things. But he's saying, unless you're sold out to the Lord, unless you're willing to love him no matter what, all these things are going to be a distraction to you and to others. Oh, but that's good. I give to the poor. Yes, but if you're giving just to put on a show, you know, people do that. In the Bible, they did that. And Jesus, I could just see him, some of the ones that were taking their money and ching, woohoo, you know. They gave of their extra, their excess. But the little widow, she gave a little mite. And that's all she had. And Jesus is saying, that's what I'm looking for. Someone willing to give all they have. No strings attached, no show, no tooting their horn. God knows our hearts, dear ones. And he wants us to get into this thing, to get into, if we could say it this way, the spiritual warfare, and go into it with this mindset that we can be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, through his power, through his grace. The Lord, I know you have something for me out there. Maybe there is something I've struggled with, but I'm not content to stay there. Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark. You see, we realize we have some needs. We've come up short somewhere. If you truly love the Lord and those around you, you are willing to buckle down and do business and put action upon your words. Put action upon the things you say you do. Okay, that's good. But Jesus is saying, Peter, go feed my sheep. Fishing's okay, but that's not your ticket into heaven, he's saying. That was God's requirement for Peter. For the rich young ruler, it was to sell all he had and give to the poor. That was his requirement. And for each and every one of us, there may be other things we have to deal with and consecrate to the Lord. Okay? That's what God requires of us. And God's saying, if you love me, you will do what I tell you to do. And then we can prove it by the life that we live. And we don't have to hide anything. We don't have to pretend anything. We just go on and say, Lord, I've been beaten down. I've been slapped around. I've slipped a few times in there, but I'm getting back up by your grace, Lord, because I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to win this war because I love you, Lord. You've given me so much, Lord. You deserve everything. And with that type of mindset and with that type of approach to adversity, to failures, love always wins. Charity never faileth. We know that on God's side, God is love. That means it does not change. So that's an unchangeable fact, okay, and a truth. He's going to give 100% no matter what. It's up to us. What percent are we going to give the Lord? 50, 60, 75, or 100? You pray for me.